I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Did you know that our hearts usually pump at a rate of 70 to 75 beats per minute? And although weighing only 11 ounces on average, a healthy heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels each day. The blood our heart pumps bathes, nourishes, and cleanses virtually every cell in our bodies. A beating heart is the joyous first sign of life, and it's the sad final thump that marks the moment of death. Did you know that every day the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles? During a typical human lifetime, that is equivalent to driving to the moon and back. Many metaphors perhaps come to mind when we hear the word heart. A big heart, someone who is caring. The heart of a lion, someone who is brave. A strong heart, someone who is emotionally stable. These metaphors are figures of speech usually connected to one's emotions. We have all heard people speak about happy hearts, good hearts, and heavy hearts. We have all felt heartache and have even been heartsick. We've suffered when our heart's desires were not fulfilled and been bewildered by those who are heartless. As the pump of life, the heart powers our system of blood flow and provides oxygen to every living cell in our bodies. Yes, a healthy heart can do amazing things. However, a sick heart can affect the body with profound fatigue, crushing chest pain, dizzying rhythms, and frightening breathlessness. When our heart malfunctions, our entire body can shut down. Can we not say the same about our spiritual hearts? In the Bible, the word heart can represent the center of our emotions, thinking, and reasoning. Actually, the heart is the command center of our lives. Proverbs 4:23 informs us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Certainly, the heart is a part of the human body that is involved with expression and action. The heart is the starting point for the activities of life. It determines life's course. Health plays a major role in spirituality. Remember how Daniel and his three friends in the Old Testament provided prime examples of temperance and prudence in regards to healthy eating. Making wise choices can lead to greater happiness and longevity. Actively pursuing good heart health may prepare us as we age to serve the Lord better. Protect your heart. Do not harm it. Keep it as strong as you can, because as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we represent Him in all we say and do 24/7. Doesn't this make a lot of sense? But is this not also difficult advice to keep? Life always seems to make so many demands in our time and energy that cry out for more immediate attention. On the other hand, taking time to study and listen to God's word and do what it directs us to do and say may not shout quite so loudly. We may not perceive the consequences of neglecting the spiritual disciplines right away. But over time, failing to adequately care for our hearts in the biblical sense will give way to a critical spiritual heart attack. Our inspired scripture text today was written by Jeremiah, who has been called the prophet of crisis, the prophet of doom, or the prophet of invincible hope. His given name in Hebrew probably means "the Lord exalts." Jeremiah preached the good news and the bad news. One who preaches salvation may find himself popular, but the preaching of judgment Jeremiah found in his life, that's an occasion for sticks, stones, and prison. It is grand to be able to talk about salvation, but God's condemnation and judgment, these are the other side of the coin, as much a part of the Bible as salvation. It has been said that cheap grace is heaven without hell, salvation without repentance, love without justice, and discipleship without discipline. But Jeremiah was also a humble man who preached about compassion. He was a prophet for 40 years between 627 and 587 BC. Jeremiah was a contemporary of prophets like Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Nahum, and Obadiah. Jeremiah served the Lord during the reign of five kings and through probably one of the most violent periods of Israeli history. When he was called to be a prophet, Assyria and Egypt were the two great superpowers, but they would both be soon eclipsed by Babylon. Many Jews had been taken into a decades-long captivity in Babylon, located not far from present-day Baghdad in Iraq. Jeremiah was presenting a beautiful prophecy of encouragement to these exiles. The Lord's ultimate purpose for his people called for blessing. The gracious promise is that of the exiles' future restoration to their homes. Moreover, the Lord assured them that although they perceived a lack of God's concern for their plight, he had not forgotten them. The Lord was not denying them hope for the future, but this hope would not be immediately realized. When faced with a difficult or challenging situation in our lives, our natural tendency is to worry and begin to find a way to extradite ourselves from our dilemma. We may say something to the effect of, "Get me away from this as soon as possible." At other times, we may retreat into a shell as we try to resolve a problem by ourselves. Then we may take little interest in our friends. In fact, our friends may observe us under those conditions to be cold, stiff, and inaccessible. However, this is not God's way of dealing with a crisis. Instead, we need to seek the comfort and support of those who care about us. Jesus even taught that we are to lift our voices in intercessory prayer for those who are oppressing or persecuting us. There are many times when we need help to survive and spiritually thrive in our difficult circumstances and trials. Did you know that the term Babylon in the Bible is often a picture of the world in which we live in? It has special theological significance in the Bible, starting with the rebellion against God at Babel, which is just another name for Babylon, in Genesis chapter 11, and concluding with the announcement of the future fall of Babylon in Revelation chapter 18. God does not call us to compromise in any matter of biblical morality, but the Lord does insist that we work towards right relationships with our families and in our communities. We must continue to pray for wholesomeness in every aspect of our nation's physical, moral, and spiritual health, with which our personal well-being is inextricably linked. Did you ever consider this? When God designs mercy, he puts it into the hearts of his people to pray for the mercy designed. When such a spirit of corporate prayer is poured out, it is a sure sign of coming mercy. Many wonder why we do not see revival in America today. If you do an historical study of every major revival in human history and in the history of America, you will find it was preceded by intense corporate prayer meetings. Go past most congregations during the week who still have prayer meetings and count the cars. Then you will know why America is still waiting for spiritual revival. Although our scripture text today implies a continuing spiritual education program for all generations, we must also recognize that we do not have a permanent continuing existence on this sin-polluted planet. Jeremiah's words, hope and a future, are literally an end and a hope, which means a hopeful end. The word from the Lord was surely more heartening to the exile spirits than the words of false prophets who had promised them a quick release from their captivity. The remainder of our text stresses the nature of their hopeful future. The promises, however, were contingent on their wholehearted repentance. Then the Lord would listen to them and make himself accessible to them. Suppose you're headed into downtown Hagerstown using I-70 or I-81. Your chosen route is backed up due to an accident or road construction. The backup will interfere with you reaching your destination. But you think, that is not a problem. I can exit the interstate and take an alternate route. It may take me a little longer, but I can still use the alternate route to reach my ultimate destination. It may take me a little out of my way, but I can still use the alternate route to get me to my destination. An accident may have interfered with my preferred interstate route, but it will not interfere with me eventually reaching my destination. Even if I get blocked on an alternate route, I can still choose another route to enable me to reach my ultimate destination. God's comprehensive will means that when He has determined His ultimate goal for you, with a willing heart, you can achieve that goal. Remember, if any human being, or even the devil himself, tries to block God's plan for your life, God can give you the power to find the way back to Him. When you have a willing heart, nothing can interfere with God's plan for your life. We can choose to align our hearts with God's will and way every day. Garrison has written this poem about the heart. Dear Jesus, take my heart in hand, and grant me this, I pray, that I through your sweet love may grow more like you day by day. In his best-selling book, Peace with God, Billy Graham opened chapter 1 with these words from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Why not choose today to not only seek, but to find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and manager of your life as we stand and sing hymn number 300, Give Me Thy Heart. I invite you to come forward for prayer.